are now tuned into the game.
Where evolution is revolution.
What's up, boy?
My brother, what's going on?
Man, ain't nothing. Out here trying to make a dollar, man, and stay current on my child support, man. That's all.
Well, you know that's commendable, brother.
That's hey, man, that's all I could do, man. You know, I'm trying to dare to be different. Dare to be great. You know what I mean? Keep my ass out of jail.
Fair.
You know, all fair. Of the things. And that's the thing. People don't realize, Brother Jay, like, niggas go to jail for not paying child support, bruh. Like, that's a real thing. Like, that ain't, like, what do you call it? Yeah, that's not hyperbole. That's, like, legit.
Yeah, that's
people go to people go to jail, man, for not paying the child support or, like, avoiding paying child support. Like, people get locked up in the bing, man.
Hey, my father can attest to that.
Damn.
Yeah.
Now, my father, when he finally started paying child support, he paid it. But then he was happy. He was happy when I turned 18.
Yeah.
And he was Jehovah's Witness, too. So it was like he had double excuse. He was like, well, I'm paying child support. You don't need this. You don't need this. And then he's like, well, you know, I don't celebrate birthdays.
It was smart.
It was actually genius, man. It was actually genius, bro. It was actually genius, man. But I think, you know, my son now, he's 13, man. So it's a little too late for me to say, yo, man, I don't really believe in Christmas.
Yeah, it's a little too late for that. But we can celebrate Kwanzaa, though, right?
Man, yo, hey, my son's so cunning. He'll try to create a gift. Like, well, you know, you're supposed to get a gift every day of Kwanzaa. To celebrate, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, nah, see.
Fair.
That wouldn't even work for me. It wouldn't even work. My son's a little too sophisticated, man. He's a hustler. He really is, man. He's a hustler. And I'm trying to get him to use his powers for good instead of evil.
You got to learn, though, bro. That's something that he has to grow into.
He's only 13. He playing me and his mama against each other and he already kind of knew the situation was a little delicate, right? Mm. But the cool thing now is like, at least she and I, we talking and we're kind of respectful of one another. And it's developing to like a decent co-parenting relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really it was a prayer answered, right? You know, we can actually have a conversation without all the heavy artillery coming out. So I'm just happy about that, man. So, you know, but I think he's a smart kid, man. I think he knew that. He knew that and kind of saw it and took notes. And then at the most inopportune time for us and opportune time for him, this dude will pull it out. You know, his mom be on his head for like not doing stuff around the crib at their crib. And he'll call me, was like, yeah, you know, mom tripping. And I can hear it in his voice, like, yo, it's gonna be an ask. It's gonna be an ask. Or you gaming me, man. Because like, yo, you too nice.
Mm-hmm.
You way too nice, man. You way too nice. He be like, yeah, you know, mom tripping, you know, she on my head, blah, 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 blah. I say, what did you do? That's my first question. What did you do? Well, she getting on me about this and getting on me about that. And I said, all right, well, what did you do? He said, well, you know, man, I couldn't play my music in the bathroom. I said, well, you do know she's told me that you have a difficult time or a challenging time keeping the bathroom up to her expectations. He said, well, you know, I don't know, Dad. It might just be easier to come live with you because you know, you're not as OCD. You keep a clean house, but you're not as OCD as mom. I say, well, you do understand there's rules at my house, too. And honestly, I'm probably more of a hard ass than your mother, cause like I don't allow you to have the grace and flexibility to have a discussion with me.
Mm.
The expectation is the expectation. The bar is the bar. And like these are the conversations I gotta have with a 13-year-old, man. It's like, yo, you can't hustle a hustler, but at the same time, like, don't call me because I've gotten in trouble before. Like I said, me and my ex-wife, we are on respectable. Collegial and polite terms right now.
Okay.
And I like it that way.
Let's keep it there.
let's keep it there. Let me keep up on my child support so I won't go to jail, man. And that's it. That's it. That's what I care about, right? Bruh. He's tried it. He's tried it on several occasions to like legit say, well, you know, well, trying to find a nugget in the conversation to take back to his mom to say, well, dad said this. Because in the past, like, he would do it, but I didn't see it coming. Because, you know, it's like, oh, you're 10, you're 11, you know, we talking video games or, you know, the movies or something like that. I'm like, well, yeah, what's the big deal? Man, been playing me the whole time, Brother Jay. Been playing me the whole damn time, man.
So dad
said
it. Hustle a hustler.
Well, he ain't really hustled me because he didn't necessarily get the things that he wanted. Because like next thing I know, my phone is ringing and my ex-wife is on the phone, like going ape shit, and I'm just like, well, what did I do? and dude has like legit framed the conversation, like, oh, well, dad said this. Like, nah, dad was a listening ear. You came to dad for perspective. Mm. You know, if anything, I told you some stories, man, talk some trash. And I'm like, yo, you probably need to do what you need to do because you got more control of keeping your mother off your ass than you think you do.
Yeah.
Right? The expectation is the expectation. The bar is the bar. You know, my son likes to try to circumvent the system or the process, man.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because, like, we're talking about a teenager, but I guess it starts in your teenage years. But what's crazy to me, you got adults like that now. Want to circumvent the process, man. Like, the expectation is the expectation. And then it's like, well, maybe we can lower the bar a little bit, or maybe I don't have to be accountable for everything. You know what I'm saying? I can talk my way around
it. Accountability, bro. You know that's a trigger for me because a lot of my clients, most, and then there's individuals that I know personally who will avoid accountability to the utmost.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sickening because why? Like, my question. You know, well, what role did you play? What did you do? Similar to what you asked your son. What'd you do? What? Well, I'm telling you what happened. You're telling me
what happened, but you didn't tell me the 10 times that your mother said, yo, clean the fucking bathrooms. make sure it meets my standard. And the times that she had to repeat herself. And the thing is, it's like, yo, man. Like, me and your mother actually all right now. So, like, she told me you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. She actually called me and said, yo, you need to come get him or I'm going to be on his head for real. Mm. And my ex-wife from the hood, man. So, like, when she called me, she's at her boiling point. He don't know that, though. And so, me, hey, man, that's like shit, man. I had to go through it. So should Yo, bro, I look at that shit. Man, I look at that shit like boot camp, basic training, pledging. Hey, like, player. Shit, I had to do it. Hey, man, good luck.
You won't die. You won't die. Be strong and fear no danger.
Hey, you got to live with her, man, because you a child. I had choices.
Oh, shit. But no, bro, like. Adults,
real shit though, bro.
Adults avoid accountability. I don't know what it is. And I told someone the other day, I said, it's okay for you to think about what role you played without thinking that everything was your fault. But everyone that you listed had a role and a part in this outcome. Your part was either your action or your inaction. One of the two helped you get to the problem that you're in now. And so take a step back and say, all right, cool. What role did I play in this? And what could I have done differently? I'm not saying that everything is your fault. What I am saying is you had a part to play. And if it was seven of you all, then it's the problem or the fault is evenly distributed amongst the seven. I don't care who did the most. everybody had a role to play. And here we are. Figure out how to get out of the situation and figure out how to avoid getting in this situation in the future. But you have to be accountable for what you've done. Even, you know, as a people manager in my former roles, I said that to my team. When we talk about performance review, I don't care what the team did. I'm asking, what did you do? I don't care what the team achieved. What role did you play? And so individuals have a hard time, even if it's something good, have a hard time delineating what actions I took that led me to this conversation. And what could you have done differently? You asked a question. I answered the question that you asked. You're mad because I didn't answer the question that you had in your head that you failed to ask me. Whose fault is that? Take accountability. I probably should have just asked the question that I wanted to answer to.
And it had, but you know, the crazy part, Brother Jay, it plays out, you know, and different kinds of relationships, you know what I'm saying? Parenting, child parent, it plays out that way, you know, dealing with crazy people at work, you know what I mean?
Facts.
It's like, yo, well, if that's what you wanted, then you should have stated that. You know, people kind of roll through it with a lot of assumptions. Or it's like, oh, I thought this in my head, and this is how I would want it to be done or should be done. But yeah, you never articulated it. You never set the expectation. And now the thing that I have with my son is more so like, yo, B, you know what the expectation is with me. And the debate that his mother and I have is like, she trying to raise him a little better than how we were raised, man. And I respect her for it because like our households were kind of ruled with the iron fist to a degree. Mm-hmm. And so she's trying to give him the flexibility to kind of express himself and make responsible choices with things that he has to have ownership over, yeah. Right? I get it. But then it kind of plays out because he thinks everything is a negotiating conversation. Mm. He thinks everything he has a true say-so. I'll give you an example. You're going to high school next year. And now, you know, like the whole college prep thing, like I do this for real. You know, I've been in the game for two and a half decades, right? And so, you know, I gave his mother a sample schedule of what he needs to register for freshman year based on the conversation that we've had. He says and picks his own schedule. And Brother Jay, it's nothing but electives. It's nothing but electives on the joint. This mofo legit thought it was cool to have 7 classes, all electives. And then his mother kind of look at the schedule that he kind of plugged into the computer system, their portal or whatever. And she says, yeah, this isn't what your dad gave me. And this isn't, I don't think this is right. And he's going through like each class, like justifying why he needs to take the class. So she calls me and we're talking. And I'm like, well, you know, I might have had a couple of classes off, but for the most part, these are the classes. This is why you need to take the class X, Y, and Z. And one of the classes that he needed to take was to prepare him for, remember the CompTIA A+ mm-hmm. certification? You know, that whole series for if you want to do cyber or if you want to do IT or what have you.
Yep.
So one of the classes he can take as a freshman.
Fundamentals.
Fundamentals of IT. Mm-hmm. That will prepare him for the CompTIA A+ exam. So mm-hmm. He's talking about working and all that stuff. I'm like, yo, man, well, if you get that at bare minimum, you could probably get a summer job once you complete it. And you show like, yo, I'm 14, 15. I got a certification in IT. You could probably get a job at some small business or whatever. And so the dude gonna tell his mom, well, yeah, I know me and dad talked about it, but I just don't, maybe I just like computers as a hobby. I want to do photojournalism. It's all right, cool. Makes sense. I said, well, why do you want to do photojournalism? You know, it won't, you know, it won't be as difficult. And I said, well, you do understand, like, a lot of the vocational electives that you have access to, you might not have quizzes or tests, but you're going to have projects and, like, real work to put in. Like, it's not a substitute for you getting out of work.
Right.
And the dude legit was trying to have, he was Johnny Cochran with his mama, man. And but she and I had kind of game planned already. I said, yo, if he come back with you with that Johnny Cochran bullshit, say, yo, call your dad. So he calls me, we talking, and I said, so why do you want to take all electives? And he was giving me like bullshit answers. And I said, what did you say you wanted to do a couple of weeks ago? Well, it would be cool to take some classes and, you know, earn money. And I don't necessarily want to work in a fast food joint, or I don't necessarily want to work in retail or whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. But this is a way and a mechanism to do it. So what changed? It's work. Because I signed him up for honors classes. Mm. I signed him up for the electives he need to take that are college prep electives. Mm-hmm. Signed him up for the damn fundamentals of IT class so he could sit for the damn certification exam. And I guess the dude really thought, like, oh, I can hustle my way out of work and stand on, air quote, business.
Wow.
And justify bullshit. And then it was like, all right, this is where the James Evans of me had to come out, Brother Jay. Because I said, yo, you think you know everything, but in this case right here, I know what's best. I know way more than you. I've done it 10 lifetimes over. You're going to do what I say. This is the expectation. This is the bar. The bar will not be lowered. And you're going to meet expectation. And you're going to shut the hell up about it.
Yeah. Shut the hell up. What was his response?
Quiet. I said, do you have any questions? No. Do you have a problem? No, Dad. Okay. Register for the damn classes. And listen. And yo, it was like, it was probably the one time or first time where it's like, yo, I really just had to chump him without putting my hands on him. You know what I'm saying? Like I just had to chump him. Like, yo, man, we ain't raising paper champions up in here, man. Mm. Like, yo, in life, you got to do the work.
Fair.
In life, you, like, if you're going to stand on, air quote, business, then damn it, stand on rocks versus sand. Stand on concrete versus mud. Stand on something that's gonna be a true foundation, man. Mm. But I just feel like the conversation that I was having with my 13-year-old child, man, is the conversation I be having with adults all the time, bro. All the time.
The sad part is, and we've said this on multiple shows, a lot of times people are repeating what they heard on social media, on the playground, on the metro, at the Wizards game, at the restaurant, right? Like, not knowing the full content or the context, they just keep repeating stuff. Or, right, like, oh, I'm standing on business. And then when you ask them, well, what does that mean? Or one of my favorite questions to ask is, well, what does that look like? And then I get quiet. Because a lot of them can't explain it, can't describe it. They just repeat it. So I'm like, tell me what it looks like so I can see what you're seeing. And they can't. And I told someone, I used to work with someone, and their tagline was, you know, we were the first. You could put two and two together to know what I'm referring to. But we were the first.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you can't be great for the sake of being great. Like, you got to be great because of, like, okay, you were first. by the year. What were you the first to do, though? Right, like to call a meeting. There were several meetings called. To organize this, there were several of those things organized. Like, what? You can't just use the tagline that we were the first and think that that's going to be, like, enough. And, right? Where is the and? Why is this relevant to me? Why is this relevant to anyone that comes behind you? Like, what's the point of you saying this and why? Like, what does this look like? I'm standing on business. What does that look like in this situation? And then when I call you out because you've now identified what it means or what it looks like to stand on business in your circumstance, you not standing on business. So now I'm calling you out based upon what you just shared with me. And now you got attitude with me because you ain't doing what you quote unquote said standing on business looks like in this circumstance.
And it don't necessarily make you great, Brother Jay.
No, I know.
It don't necessarily make you great. To be the first don't make you the greatest. For example, you know, let's take it to sports, right? Boxing. Jack Johnson was the first black heavyweight champion of the world. Granted, bad mofo, went through a lot and was charged with charges from an unjust justice system.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he was the first black heavyweight champion. Don't mean he was the greatest heavyweight champion, though. You could be the first, but you ain't Muhammad Ali. That also stood on business and went through challenges and also whipped everybody and whipped other great people to be great. Like, that's standing on business to me, man. Like, standing on business to me kind of means, like, yo, you're gonna overcome adversity. You're going to be resilient. You're going to have morals and ethics about you, like principle about whatever the industry or activity or genre that you're kind of involved in, right? But the thing, the crazy part is, it's almost like I feel like people today would much rather be like a contender. And you know how, like, in boxing, you got like the top 10 contenders, and number one or two, they usually get a shot at the champion.
Yeah.
So you're a contender. And instead of fighting the champ to be the man, you got to beat the man, or, you know, in today's society, to be the person, you got to beat the person, right? Instead of beating the person and taking the title in the ring, you would rather for the champion to maybe get an injury, maybe run into some legal issues where they can't defend the title, or, you know, in Ali's case, he got stripped of the title,
mm-hmm,
because of refusal to go into the draft and go to Vietnam, which was standing on business. People seem like they would much rather, like, receive the title via email, because, like, the champion couldn't defend the title. And it's like, oh, I'm the champion now. I'm the champion now. And as a result, you want all of the perks and the benefits. And most importantly, the clout. You want the clout and you want the notoriety of being a champion.
Mm-hmm.
But you have not done what you needed to do to be a champion. It was one of the things I was trying to get through my son's head. It's like, yo, you can bullshit through high school. That ain't gonna make you great. You can bullshit through your chores. That ain't gonna make you great.
Facts.
You can bullshit your parents. That ain't gonna make you great, because the only person that's gonna suffer is you. Because when the rubber gotta meet the road, you standing on being a paper champion, just opposed to, like, yo, getting your ass in the gym, doing road work, sparring, eating right, cutting out the bullshit.
Yeah.
focusing on becoming a champion. And it's funny, man. Like, it's cliche, but it's funny now. You're kind of looking back at, like, 80s wrestling. And that was, like, Ric Flair's, you know, number one tagline. To beat a man, you got to beat the man. Everybody want to claim, stake a claim to say, yo, I'm standing on business. But it's kind of like, yo, man, you want to be a paper champion, man. You want to be a champion by type, by name only versus accomplishments. That's crazy to me. But why is it though? Why is it?
I wish I could answer that for you, brother. It's, you know, thanks to Drake, it's become a popular phrase. And then Drewski did a nice little Instagram skit.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has no substance when many of the people who are repeating it ain't standing on.
They ain't shit. Damn, you ain't standing on business. You just ain't shit. Bruh. Like politicians is primary examples of this shit, but don't nobody call them out on it, right? Regardless of what side of the aisle you on, man, everybody's quote unquote standing on business, but ain't shit getting done. Like, if you notice, at least in federal politics, national politics, don't shit get done, bro. Don't shit get done.
That's true.
Like, legit. We gonna have a rematch. We're gonna have a rematch of Uncle Joe. And most likely 45, man. And 45 essentially won by being a paper champion and people believing in, like, the paper champion is the real thing. The paper champion is, like, legit the real thing. And it's like, yo, and it's sad because it's like, yo, if you adopting, like, that type of mantra and believing in that type of person, then damn, do you really know what a real champion look like?
Mm. Right.
Do you know what a real champion's supposed to do? What a real champion really supposed to stand on? And the funniest thing I seen, man, yo, I ain't trying to get political, man, but I seen the dude, Tim Scott, man, the senator from South Carolina, man, he endorsed 45 the other day, man. And the dude, I ain't gonna lie, man, I don't throw this word around lightly, you know what I mean? But when you see a black man bojangling and shucking and jiving, bruh, like, it was the epitome of that. Like, dude, I ain't never heard you sound like a Southern Baptist preacher ever. And this dude was legit had, like, a bootleg cadence and referenced Fannie Lou Hamer, like, we are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm just like, yo, dude, you doing all of this for this dude? You standing on your business for this dude? And you shucking and jiving for this dude? I was blown, man, because I mean, I ain't really think too much of him in the first place. But just to see, like, just to see a man, bro, a man shucking jive and buffoon around for another man on behalf of another man that you know probably ain't really standing on business.
Ain't shit.
Yeah, right.
You said it. Ain't shit.
But you feel the need to shuck and jive and denigrate yourself just for what?
Because there's some sense of validation with that, right? And I see this a lot with my clients. Like, there's small things that will validate someone. And a lot of times it's sad. So because someone asked him to do something and probably talked it up, feels like he's important and that that his role matters, and that if X, Y, and Z does happen and 45 becomes 47, he's going to feel as if he has a place. He played a part in that. And that he may even be the VP. There's validation there. There's validation.
That's some Illuminati shit, though, bro. It's like, damn, you sell your soul for what cost?
It can sound as crazy as all get out. But depending on what you are longing for,
All you need is a drop of it. And that'll feed your validation for now. I mean, look at Herman Cain. Well, I'm sorry, poor example. Look at
God bless the dead, man.
I said that too fast. I'm sorry. Look at the Attorney General from Kentucky, the former Attorney General from Kentucky.
Oh, you're talking about Tom Dubois. You know, I call him Tom Dubois because he looked like Tom from the Boondocks, man.
What the heck was his name? Regardless of the fact, he wasn't elected to be in the role he wanted, nor in the role that he had. And so here we are. Standing on business. So he says, but wasn't. And then the question is, you say you're standing on business, but who determines what that business is?
Yeah, like who reconciles the business, man? Like, is the business part of the Better Business Bureau? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, are you A-plus certified with the triple B, man? Like, what type of business you standing on, nigga?
That's the question. But who determines it, right? Like, I can determine the business in my life, but as your manager at work, I will validate or confirm or deny whether you are in fact standing on business based on the job description that you are attached to. This performance review will determine whether you are really standing on business or you just taking up space. So, like, once again, validation, accountability. What's happening? And it's a real sad moment when I can hear an individual who will repeat it, has no substance in their response, their reason why. Oh, well, you know, I'm just standing on business. What does that look like? Once again, stop repeating what you've heard.
That shit sound like a politician, some shit a politician is say, don't it, though?
Yeah, like make America great again.
So yeah, hell like, yeah, that shit sound like some shit a politician is say.
And the actions that we're seeing are the things that we see from politicians as well.
I mean, I guess the fact that you said that, I guess you're right, man. Like, do we dare to be frauds versus daring to be great and authentic?
I don't think individuals know how to be authentic.
Cause you know that's a tagline now too, and it makes me utterly sick, honestly. Yeah, I just want to be able to bring my true and authentic self to the situation.
And people are still trying to figure out what that looks like.
Yeah.
Once again, my question is, what does that look like? Well, you know, I just want to be my authentic self. Okay. Well, do you remember who you were before the world told you who you needed to be?
Hello.
Because when you log on to Instagram, and you're seeing all these individuals that look a certain way or talk a certain way, all in your algorithm, eventually you'll start to consume that and you will transform as if you are a chameleon into what the algorithm is showing you. Is that your authentic self?
Like some Matrix program shit for real.
Yeah. And I had to check. I remember I was working in high school. I was teaching a leadership class. And one dude found out that one of the girls that he thought was the baddest in the school liked guys that did certain things or dressed a certain way. And so, you know, he's working overtime over the weekend so he can afford the clothes. Mm. And she still didn't want him.
Mm. Mm.
Like he came into class. Even the way he greeted me was different. I was like, come here. Come holler at me real quick before you go up this hallway and embarrass yourself. Let me help you out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the clothes, brother. No. She stated, I heard her saying this in the hallway. I was like, yeah, but save your face. It's not just the clothes. So let's be more intentional. And next period, he comes back. Shoulders is down. Head is down. His walk is a little different. He sits in the back of the classroom. He's not responding. And on the inside, I'm hollering because I'm just like,
yeah, because you know, like, nigga, I told you.
I told you. I told you not to walk up this hallway. And now, listen, you wanted to be a clown. She made you a part of the circus. And now,
hey, man. Hey, hey. Ringling Brothers, baby. Ringling Brothers.
So, like, he was jumping through the fiery hoop. I said, so at the end of class, I told him to stay back. I said, yo, listen, walk me to my car. So we're having a conversation. I said, yo, bro. Take the rest of the clothes that you bought, take them back. Other than the ones you got on. He's like, man, I still got the tag on this shirt. Don't worry about it. You sprayed too much cologne on it.
Hey, bro, he was Nick Cannon and My Love Don't Cost a Thing, man.
Tragic.
Yes.
It was tragic.
Oh, he was chasing what's her name? Christina, was it Aguilera?
Million.
She was bad, though. Oh, Christina Milian, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Christina Aguilera too. That's a singer.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
She's a singer too.
That's hip. That's Hips Don't Lie, right?
I don't know.
No, that's Shakira.
Shakira, I do know that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Shakira. Yeah. No, but yeah,
Christina Aguilera
Milian.
Was Genie in a Bottle, I think.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Don't ask why I know that.
It's all good. It's all. But Christina, but they all in the same era though. You know that early 2000, like 2000,
yeah,
99, 2001,
2000.
Yeah. Christina Milian was bad though.
Yeah. So
but yeah, but
I said,
Nick Cannon pretty much he almost gave away his damn scholarship chasing after a broad, man.
And so when we got to the car and we're having a conversation, I said, bro, listen. I warned you, and one day you're going to recognize when wisdom is talking, shut up and listen. I saw how she was responding to you. It wasn't the clothes, bro. It's not it. Damn. I said, so, like, you're trying to configure yourself to be liked by someone that doesn't really like you.
Instead of really figuring out who you are.
Yeah. And I remember I had a conversation with someone and they was like, yeah, you know, I wasn't really popular in school. I said, tell me more. So they go on to describe it. I said, so it sounds like you were popular. It just sounds like you weren't getting the attention of the people you wanted the attention from.
Mm. And then everybody fronting though, bro.
Then they thought about it. They was like, yeah. Well, I said, so, and it wasn't that guys weren't liking you. It was that the guys that everybody was liking, you wanted them to like you back because everyone said that X, Y, and Z was fine or that, yo, that he's the hottest one in the school. And so because you heard that, you started to subscribe to that and you started to believe that. And so if the hottest person in the school didn't want you, then you didn't feel as if anyone did. And so you're giving attention to someone that you really don't like. You're only liking because everyone around you is telling you that this, like, you hear that they like them and over here they like them. So it's like, oh, well, I guess I got to like them too. You don't even like this person. You just wanted the attention of the one that had the attention of everybody else.
The validation. You go, let it go back to the validation. Boom. You were talking about. Yeah.
Right? And so it's like, it's not that you weren't popular. You were popular. You were well known. People knew you. You had friends. You just weren't getting the attention of the people you thought you should be getting the attention from. But going back to my question that I asked the young bro, do you remember who you were before the world told you who you had to be? We're searching, yeah. Right? Like, how often do we stand on top of a mountain full of diamonds looking for a pot of gold? Like, do you recognize what you have and who you are? Do you know your self-worth? Because I promise you, the mountain of diamonds that you're standing upon is going to be worth more than that little pot of gold that you're looking for.
Man, once again, that's a conversation going back that I had with my son, man. Like, I pray to God my son ain't thirsty, man. I pray to God he ain't thirsty. But I think, man, he got thirsty tendencies, man.
He's
it's kind of like, man, it's like, yo, my G.
Yourself.
It's like, yo, my G, you got to chill, man. You got to chill. You got to chill. Like, one is middle school. And two, when you go to high school, you can lose your damn mind. Then when you go to college, you can lose your mind. Like, you can go crazy. But it's like, yo, but you can't be thirsty at every stop, man. Can't be thirsty at every stop, bro.
And the thing is, right, is when you get older, you realize that it wasn't really thirst. Right? Because the things you were seeking weren't going to quench your thirst.
Yeah.
They weren't. Because it was like, oh, look at this. Let me get that. All right, cool. So you get it, and then it was like, okay, on to the next one. And it's like you never really satisfy that hunger, or you never really quench that thirst, because you're always, similar to a junkie, you're always looking for your next high.
Or you looking for that first high. That's the heroin, you know, what they call it. And if you're addicted to heroin, man, you chasing that dragon.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first high, that's pretty much what gets you addicted. You trying to get that same feeling every time.
Every single time.
So the person that gave you the attention or said, oh, that's a nice sweater. You know, I like your shoes or whatever. It's like, oh, that make me feel good. So everybody got to say it.
Validation.
Yeah, man. And
I remember where we used to work. I walked one young lady out to her car and I said, when you recognize who you are and what you have, you seeking applause from everybody else that can't see it is pointless. To the point where you should get to the point where you recognize who the hell you are. And if nobody claps for you, the fact that you applauded yourself in the morning and you applaud yourself at night is enough. If don't nobody applaud for you after you do whatever, and it was a challenging task, clap for yourself. Right? But we seek applause from other people. And, you know, something that I say all the time, when you live for the applause of others, you will die by their silence every single time. When we seek validation from other people, when we don't get it, we die. And so now we leaving a job because we didn't get validated. We leaving a friend group because they not validating me. You leave a relationship. He ain't tell me I had nice shoes today. She ain't like my haircut. Because you're still not aware of who you are and you don't recognize your worth. But on social media, you standing on business.
Standing on business.
And if she don't treat me like she need to, or she don't do X, Y, and Z, then I'm out.
What T.I. tell his son, man? He said, you embarrassing your family. And when he replaced, he said, I'm standing on business. He said, fuck the family, I'm standing on business.
And then the question then comes at, is at what cost?
Yeah, at what cost, man?
At what cost?
At what cost? Because it's kind of like, the ill thing about that situation, it's been so much business, Shawty, you could stand on, because everybody seen you grow up on reality shows, man. We seen your lifestyle. We know you ain't about that life, man. Your dad might have been about that life. Your mama might have been about that life, but you ain't about that life, bruh. You legit grew up in a mansion in a good neighborhood, a gated community. You got to ride around in Bentleys and Rolls Royces. And at the time that the reality show was out, your daddy was hot. Pause. He was like legit, like top of the charts, you know, for real. So like, yo, B, you ain't even get your business off the strength of your name. Well, your first name. You got your business off of your last name. They came from your daddy, because your daddy had the business. And you leveraged his name. Mm-hmm. Cause the name that you got is his name. Mm-hmm. Paper champion. Instead of being a champion and making a name for yourself, you want to say I'm standing on business, but you kind of embarrassing the legacy that your father put up for you, man. That sucker shit. That's my opinion. I guess I'm the old nigga on the lawn now, man. Like, yo, get off my lawn, man, because you standing on business.
Standing on business.
But you blocking my trash cans, man. The garbage man coming today. Move your punk ass out the way. And you know the crazy part? When women say they standing on business, man, like, that's scary to me too, man. Because it's like, all right, well, what business you standing on, yo? Because it's like, I just don't get it, man.
Somebody told them what they were supposed to do, and that's what they're calling business. Oh, well, if he don't treat you right, you got to do X, Y, and Z. I had a client tell me she was standing on business, and I said, okay, cool. Well, before we go down that route, somebody disrespected her and blah, 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 blah. I said, well, what did you do to be disrespected? Or tell me why you deserve X, Y, and Z. And going back to being first, like, and you can't just say I deserve it just because I deserve it. Just because I'm in relation with someone. Like,
man, that for the sake bullshit. Of,
because we're in relationship with one another, like, you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z just because we are in relationship. I said, that doesn't make sense to me.
Nah.
Because what you're saying is by your logic, you can be disrespectful. You can talk to me any type of way. Do anything that you want to do, regardless of what I think or my feelings, and I'm still supposed to treat you as if none of that happened.
Because you stand on business. And the wild thing about that, and you know, this might be my own trauma I'm working through, Brother Jay. It might be my own trauma. But everything that women say that men do, they do that shit way better than us, bruh. Way better. It ain't no discussion. If a man cheat, oh, they cheat way better than us, man.
So I won't. This is what I would say.
They cheat. Hold on, let me finish.
Go ahead.
They cheat better than us. They lie better than us. And I ain't saying like there's more of them that do it than men. But what I'm saying is, with the shit they target us with and charge us with, yo, they way better at it than we are. And that's just a fact.
I think it depends on who you know. Cause I know some individuals who are horrible. And I know some ones that, you know, wrote the book on it. And I think I would say that on the granular level that people gon' people,
man. But I'm just tired of people saying, I'm tired of people. We're going to say people. I'm just tired of people saying like, men do all the crazy, wild shit. Like, men got the egos, men don't know how to apologize, men are emotionally unavailable, blah, 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 blah. All the cliche shit. Because I'm just saying, I just think it's an equal amount of women out there that's doing the same shit.
Oh, I agree.
But they're doing that shit, a little more with a little bit more sophistication than we are.
Sometimes they're not. It just looks different. Sometimes it looks different, right? I'm cheating. You're also cheating. You're just not getting caught.
That's fair.
Right?
But doesn't that mean that they doing it better, though?
No. I mean, because at the end of the day, cheating is cheating.
Cheating is cheating, but I mean, we're a little more sloppy and messier.
That could be true, too. Or, right, it could be like, oh, well, you know, some people are doing it with intention and some people are doing it like, oh, I mean, someone said this in the conference and I chuckled. They was like, well, some people are cheating with malicious intent. And some are cheating intentionally with, what did they say? Some people are cheating with malicious intent. And then sometimes the intent is just malicious. I said, what?
See, that's standing on business.
What does that mean?
I'm confused now.
I said, you said the same thing. She's like, well, no, like,
sometimes
things happen accidentally. And it's like, that can be seen as malicious. And then sometimes people are intentionally doing it, but with the malicious intent. I said, okay, so accidental cheating and intentional cheating, they're different things. And some of the room was like, yeah, and then everyone else was looking like, at the end of the day, it's still cheating. Someone got caught. Someone was intentional about not getting caught. Like, you were cheating. That's it, right? Whether you did it in France, whether you did it in Ghana, it's cheating.
If you did it in your favorite outfit,
yeah, or you did it in pajamas, it's still cheating. At the end, like on the like at the crux of it, it's still cheating. No matter how you say it, the degree of intention, blah blah blah, the casualties of war, it doesn't matter. It's still cheating.
Yeah, man.
Being emotionally unavailable. I had a friend tell her former fiance that he was emotionally unavailable. He said the issue is this was cold and they did it at dinner in front of people. I felt like I was on Why Did I Get Married at the dinner table.
Oh Lord, that was standing on business.
And so, and you know, she would.
Did somebody have to drive up a mountain in a snowstorm?
Luckily, we was on the beach, right? And so, and she would always talk to him sideways. And so he was like, "That's interesting that you say I'm emotionally unavailable." He said, "Because when I think of the two people involved in our relationship," and I said, "Oh shit,
oh shit."
He was like, "One of us is in therapy. Ooh. One of us knows how to use their words and knows how to effectively communicate their feelings and emotions. Are you saying I'm not emotionally available because I don't let allow you to disrespect me or my boundaries or put up with your emotional abuse?"
That's standing on business. Yo, Brother Jay, I ain't gonna hold you. That's standing on business right there.
And everyone then looked at her like, "Well, what you gonna say now?
What you gonna do? What you gonna do?"
He said, "Because I'm pretty sure, like,
what's
like,
the comeback? What's the comeback?
The work that my therapist and I have done over the past year or two, like, I'm able to be present emotionally, to communicate emotions, and to see things through the lens of emotional intelligence. So are you saying that I'm just not available to put up with your bullshit because now I have boundaries and I'm not allowing you to do and say whatever, whenever you want? I agree with you then. I'm not available for that."
Mm.
And man, the coldest cold, right? Thing.
That ain't gonna lie. That sound like a Tyler Perry movie.
He picked up his glass. He took a sip, put it down. He picked up his utensils and he continued to eat dinner. Emotionally unbothered. And everyone else is sitting at the table like.
Real rap though. What she do? What she do?
She sat there and had to gather her face because he broke it.
Damn.
Like, and then the sick part was he didn't even like look her way anymore. Like she was non-existent. And so now everybody else is sitting at the table like, well, shit, dude, this is awkward.
So, I mean, like who, like this the petty shit in me, Brother Jay, like who changed the subject? Or what was the next subject that y'all transitioned to?
So I took a sip and then I continued my conversation with the person I was talking to. Cause it was one of those things where it was like, this ain't got shit to do with me. I'm not real putting shit. My mouth on that.
You were standing on
my own business, right? So the conversations around the table just slowly started to continue. He continued talking to who he was talking to. It was weird for about an hour. And then towards the end of dinner, she left the table early. Brother didn't even look her way. Like, at that point, I think he was like, "Oh, we done. We done."
Yeah.
"You tried me in front of all these people. Let me meet you. Yeah. Let me help you stand on business." And then everybody went their separate ways. We go back, you know, you go back to your own room and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then, you know, there's a separate group chat. Like, what?
And then what everybody talking about the group? I know breakfast was awkward.
No, we went out after that. Like, we all went out afterwards. And it was like, in the group chat, I was like, "All right, get it out now. So it's going to be awkward if both of them show up." He was like, "Yo, I paid for this trip. I'm coming to enjoy myself."
Hey, man, standing on business.
We get down to the lobby. Brother is sitting there dressed, waiting on his phone. He's like, "All right, man, y'all ready? The Uber will be here in 10 minutes. You know me. Let's get it, bro." Like, I ain't got nothing to do with that.
Hey, yo, man, I think you was just happy that you ain't had to resolve the awkward shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let's keep this party going.
In the group chat, they was like, "Ronald, we was thinking you was going to jump in and be the therapist and help." I was like, some things ain't for me. Mm-mm. They ain't my client. Mm-mm. Unless I'm a firefighter and I swore to protect and serve and, you know, at the will and pleasure of the citizens, no, you're not my client. Y'all gonna have to figure that out.
Ain't my clown, ain't my circus.
That's it. Like that little girl said. Mm-mm. They was like, "Damn, nobody tried to say nothing." I was like, "What were we supposed to say?"
Hey, man, it seemed like everything that needed to be said was said in the name of business.
In clear, concise, confident, There was no vagueness. There was no confusion. And basically, when he took a sip of his drink, it was like, here's a period to the sentence. Don't say nothing else to me.
Yeah, man. See, she was trying to be a paper champion in that moment.
In front of all her friends.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She was trying to be a paper champion and try to hold up the belt, run around the ring, stand on the ropes like, we did it. Like, nah, man. She wasn't ready. She didn't have a good training camp.
she wasn't prepared.
Yeah, she wasn't prepped.
So it's departure day, right? We leave in the hotel, and they're actually supposed to be on my flight, right? We flew there together. We're flying back together. So we get there. I see him once again in the lobby, dressed, ready, suitcase. He ready. Hey, y'all ready to go? Uber be here in a couple minutes. I was like, yo, stop calling the Uber. We was going to do. He's like, nah, man, I got it. I didn't say
that. Shit, that nigga was trying to get the fuck out of there, bro.
I
didn't say
that. Like, I knew in my head that there was 7 people that we flew with. It was only 6 that was in the lobby.
Yeah.
He got the Uber black. We off it. And then someone was like, well, where's such and such? He says nothing. He was like, Ronald, I signed up for Clear. I signed up for Clear like you taught me, so I can get through security faster this time. He was like, we'll see what works. I just got my X, Y, and Z. He said, that's why I wanted to go early so I can do the enrollment thing and actually use it to get on this flight. I said, oh, bet. I started talking about the benefits of using Clear and global
entry. Use a therapist and a travel agent at the same damn time. That's standing on business.
Okay, here's my promo code. Get that. Take something off my membership. All right. So we're driving.
Put in RLJ. RLJ is the promo code for a 20% discount.
So we're on the way to the airport. We're like 5 minutes away. We start to see the airport sign. Somebody was like in the private group chat. So ain't nobody gonna ask where such and such is? No.
Hey, man, ain't my monkey, ain't my show.
Hey, listen, I am a party of one. I am here. That's all I'm accountable for. We get in, we check in, we get to the gate, don't see her. And they said, so ain't nobody gonna ask. I said, do you have her phone number? Why don't you call her and check on her? It's like, she ain't answering. Well, maybe she don't want to be talked to.
Yeah, or maybe she want to just stay in an extra day.
Or maybe she left unannounced. Listen, I don't
know. That's fair. That's some real shit,
I ain't got nothing to do with it. All I know is,
I hope the brother ain't pay for a ticket. Well, if he did, he's like, I charge it to the game.
Unless he canceled it.
Or I charge it to the business.
Unless he canceled it.
I tell you. Yo, it ain't standing on business, man. I charged it to the business.
Hey, that's a business. Now that's a business.
That's a business expense.
But no,
That's a write off, brother James.
What I do know is he had the fellas over at his house the following week. We show up, there was no trace of her in his house, and ain't nobody say shit. Like, ain't nobody say, man, well, what went on? Like, nope. And of course, everyone else is texting like, well, what y'all find out? We was like, what you mean?
Man, I'm out of this joke, man. I'm out of it.
Hey, listen, when he took a sip of his glass, that was a period for everybody that was at the table. I ain't got nothing to do with this. Now, if he comes to me and shares what he wants to share, cool. But other than that, pass that glass over there, bro. Let me get a sip of this. Like.
Hey, yo, man. You know the most impressive part about all of this? What you just said? Yo, man, I ain't know you was a travel agent too, man. You giving motherfuckers advice on Clear,
hey.
Yo, destinations. Like, yo, man, well, you ain't got to take the Uber Black. You could do blah blah blah. Like, hey, nah, man, you a multifaceted.
Listen.
You got, hey, brother Jay, I really do think, man, if you was a cat that say, yo, I'm standing on business, it'd be like Jamaican businesses, man. You have like 10, 12 businesses to stand on, man. You know what I'm saying? Shit, that's funny as hell. My man took a sip of the glass and said, and he said, are we done or are we finished? Are we finished or are we done?
But it was like Frank Lucas. Now, you know my fraternity nickname is Frank Lucas, the American gangster, right?
Yeah.
Because I just got ruthless. And so, like, when Frank Lucas looks at somebody else doing Frank Lucas better than Frank Lucas, I said, oh,
That motherfucker bad.
Yeah.
He's a bad. You got
respected, man. Cause
I got to give honor where honor due. Cause
hey, man, game recognized game.
The way he reached for the glass, took a sip of it, put it down, and continued to eat. Now, mind you, we had the meal at the place where we were eating. It was. I think everybody's tab was like 170 a piece, right? And so, like, the food was immaculate.
Yeah.
And he said, "No, what we not finna do." Is waste this expensive meal that's already paid for. No, that brother kept eating. And then when the conversations kept going and he act like nothing happened, I say, oh, Frank Lucas right there. Now that's the American gangster.
It's different, man. See, like he was like, nah, man, I'm a contender. I ain't trying to be a paper champion, man. I've been in training camp. Cause he was prepared. He was prepared.
Yeah. He said, I can show you better than prepared. I can tell you.
He was prepared, man.
And you know what? As I think about it, I ain't heard from her since.
Damn, bro.
That's been a minute, bro. Like,
she might be still on the mountain, but you said y'all was at the beach. Yeah, man. You know, hey, maybe she was Stella, man. She met somebody on the island.
I don't know.
Decided to stay. At least she went on a mountain on stranded on the side of the road.
In the snowstorm.
In a snowstorm. Yo, man, I don't know, man. I don't want my son to be a paper champion, man. I want him to be a real contender and really go to 12 rounds and take the title. You know what I'm saying?
But he's going to have to grow into that. So at first, he's going to have to, because everyone around him is going to be.
It's a lot of bullshit, brother.
Everyone around him is going to be a paper champion. And so he's going to want to fit in until he realizes that sometimes standing out is better than fitting in. He's going to have to learn it, bro. We've all been there.
So I ain't going to lie, man. If that little mofo say I'm standing on business around me, I'm going to jail. My child support gonna be paid up, but I'm going to jail though, because it's got, you know, then it's weird because it's like, yo, now I gotta prove a point. Because I'm standing on business.
we gonna see who can stand the best.
Yeah, man. I still got some vigor in this body of mine, man. Yo, I swear, man. But yeah, I just find it fascinating that you have teenagers and like grown people saying and doing the same shit, Brother Jay. In the name of standing on business.
Whatever that means.
Cause I still don't know. Brother Jay, we done talked for an hour. I still don't know what it means. I don't know what it means, man. I still don't know what capping means, but I think I got an idea. I'm thinking it's like a cap gun.
It's like,
but it's, I know, but you know, a cap gun is a fake gun. It makes noise, but ain't no bullets. So I'm thinking when the youngins was talking about, yo, you capping, it's like, I thought it was like, oh, well, you faking, you lying, because, you know, a cap gun ain't a real gun.
Fair.
Right?
Fair.
But that's me being like old and logical.
Nobody
has confirmed that's exactly what it means, man. So like capping and standing on business, Brother Jay, I'm still clueless. I'm standing on clueless. Cluelessness, if you will. Oh man. Yeah, man. All I got to say is, man, teenagers, don't be thirsty, and adults, especially if you like your late 30s, 40s, man, grow up. Just grow up. Your time is done, man. The TikToking is over, man. Like, yo, time has passed you by. On that note, man, you just witnessed another edition of the Game Recognized Game Podcast. With RLJ and Kev, man. I'm KEV, that's RLJ. And we are the gentlemen advancing the melanin evolution, where evolution is revolution. And just be light, man. Don't stand on business, man, because I don't know what it means, and I don't know what you're standing for, man. And just, you're annoying me right now. That's all I got.
Be like.